Hey, welcome to today's podcast. Quick trigger warning, I am talking about loss today, specifically the death of a pet, what happened with us, and what really helped during and after, especially if you have a child going through the experience with you. Anyone that knows me personally knows I loved my dog like a person, like another child. Judge me if you want, don't give a shit. He was the most loving, precious little being I could have ever asked for. I made up his name when we adopted him, Zany, short for Zanipolo, which means little gift from God in Italian. This little furry ball of light even got my parents to fall in love with him. And they are not dog people. Might not even be people either, but you know. But they were for him. They even had him sleeping on their bed. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable, man. If you've ever lost a pet, you know this was fucking horrible, friend. If you haven't, what I'm going to talk about can be applied to loss and sadness of any sort and real life ways to help you and your child process it all. And if you follow my stuff, it's highly likely that no one helped you do that growing up, right? It was the day I was dreading since we adopted him. I could remember laying with him and petting him when we first got him and crying because I already loved him so much that I was already fearing losing him, which is unhealed trauma's jam, by the way. Oh, something good happening? Awesome. Let's think of all the ways shit can go sideways, right? Because a traumatized brain is, number one, used to things going wrong. So that's what it expects. Oh, and later it's really fun because you'll actually start bringing that forward, which is really crazy. And number two, your ego is scrambling to protect you from all the what ifs in advance, which just steals the joy from the present. Healing is a hell of a thing, right? And I do think the last 2 years of awakening and healing was preparing me for this moment. Because unhealed me would have ran freaking barefoot from this shit. Either mentally, physically, or both. Trying to escape and numb out the pain. Either through drinking and or isolation. Which I would do for days when my nervous system was hanging on by a very thin thread. And then my 7-year-old would have been watching how to process the first death and loss that was close to him. From that space, right? As much as my heart was breaking, I was aware that he was going to get to see and process emotions properly in a way that I never got. I tried to be as honest as possible about every part of the process while still putting it in the most compassionate way possible for his 7-year-old mind. Waiting and watching how he reacted after each thing to help him with the emotions and questions and worries. Zany was slowing down for a little while now. He was a fantastic 15 years old. Slower was to be expected. And I had never had a dog until old age. So I had no frame of reference of what even normal slowing down was without something actually happening health-wise, which leads me to the other weird thing that I was dealing with. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this too, but there was even more going on for me personally because anyone that ever had pets in my immediate and even extended family always got rid of them before they got old. I think that because I knew there was a ton of trauma on all sides and their nervous systems were probably a wreck, I don't think anyone was able to hold the space for allowing the pet to actually get sick and get old and go. I think they subconsciously could not handle it. And so they would always find a reason to get rid of the pet. So listen to this crazy stuff. My parents gave away my dog to the pizza delivery guy in front of me at 4 years old. What the fuck, right? Yeah, that won't mess anybody up. My God. Then, at around 8 years old, my former stepmother had me go for the ride to ditch my dog, which, by the way, was the only loving being that I had at that time in the house, on the side of the road, and then lie to my dad that she ran away because she kept peeing in the house and she was a mess. Like, honestly, like, I know looking back on it, she was just a mess in so many ways that, like, she just couldn't handle anything else. And let me tell you something, because this wouldn't even have happened if you let the dog out the fucking outside like animals do. Sorry, that was a little unhealedness that came out. But in all honesty, she was a wreck at the time and couldn't handle anything. The dog was just another thing. It wasn't even about the dog. Anyway, so with all of that mess, I lost my dogs so traumatically and never processed all the grief and emptiness and confusion at the time. And then last week, I knew something was going on. Maybe my higher self or other spirit was trying to give me the heads up. I was in the shower and I hear, "You're going to have to decide if you want to bury or cremate him." I literally shook my head. Like, oh my God, that must be like an intrusive thought. What the hell? So I acknowledge it as neutrally as I could and I let it pass. Like I try to do with all the other crazy thoughts. So then the mornings are hectic with everyone trying to get ready. But something told me to slow down and just sit with him for a few minutes. It was the weirdest thing. So I did. Then we got ready, dropped our kid off at school. I come back and I got the strongest push to go meditate. So my husband said he would walk the dog quick. Okay, cool. I'm near the end of my meditation and my husband knocks on the door. And at first I was like, what the hell? Like, he probably freaking forgot that I was meditating. He opens the door and is like, "We gotta go. We gotta take Zany to the doctor's right now. I'll spare you the details, but there was no doubt something was seriously wrong. I could feel the overwhelming feelings coming to the surface immediately in such a fast way that I knew the past was also showing up. So we get to the vet and my husband is like, "Don't assume the worst. Could be something simple, etc." Yeah, okay. She takes him to run blood work and examine further. And then she comes into the room and says she feels a mass where there shouldn't be one. My worst fears confirmed and I lost it. I was devastated. Total blubbering mess. But I'm telling you, I already knew it was bad. I had a knowing. A family member who I sincerely believed just wanted to help me in the only way they knew how, asked if I wanted a really good bottle of wine just to get through this. Now, I have not drank in over 2 years since my awakening, since I surrendered into it. And if I'm being honest, yes, the idea sounded really good. My head wanted to numb this pain the fuck out. And this is where nervous system maintenance is so important, especially during a hard time or crisis. You're going to need to reset your vagus nerve more often to offset the influx of fight or flight or freeze. You're going to be having more coming at you. You're going to have to do more for your system. I told them thank you, but I knew from healing that I could face the biggest pains of my life from childhood on and feel it all. I knew that I could feel it all and survive it. What a glorious, bittersweet gift to know you have the courage now and strength to face and accept all the challenges that come your way. Because spoiler alert, healing doesn't stop that shit from happening. Healing stops you from running away and letting it consume and take over your days to come. And that is life-changing. So in the middle of my sobbing, I found gratitude. It is a crazy thing what healing does. What a gift it was as a human to love so deeply that you feel this much pain. It's the attachment that actually causes the most amount of pain. My daily routine with him, the comfort and joy he brought me by petting him and just looking at his adorable face, they are now going to be voids. It literally feels empty. I would have to fill that myself. Anything that feels like a void, you have to fill it with something you value for yourself. And I knew and trusted, as much as I fucking hated it, that every single loss we have can lead us to growth and is necessary to make room for something else we may not know we needed yet. My dog helped me get through some of my darkest days, helped me soften when I lived in perpetual anger and rage. And this was the first time that I was actually able to embrace sadness and grief without trying to cover it up with anger. This was an amazing thing. And so if you feel like, oh, I'm sad and this is... The fact that you can even get to the sadness is huge, and I'm going to tell you why specifically later. So, we still weren't exactly sure how bad it was until we got the blood work back the next day. The doctor tried to say things as neutrally as she could, but my brain is very analytical, and I saw between the lines. I rifled through all the information, which was that he had issues on 4 different organs. His kidneys were almost at failure, and my dude is 15 years old, which is not awesome for procedures and medications. I said to her very simply, is there anything else that can be done in your opinion? She said, not in her facility. Possibly an internal medicine hospital if we wanted to try something. I already knew. But just to get confirmation, my husband's best friend is a vet, amazing, from out of state. We send him and another vet we just happen to know a copy of the blood work. They all said the same thing. Not good, dude. Not good. Our friend even said, hey, listen, as your friend, here is the real deal. And that felt like a horrible yet comforting gift that someone that actually loves us and Zany with no professional whatever's involved is telling us this. My brain was still finding gratitude in the storm because I trained it to, while still feeling everything on the other side, which is really wild when you start to heal and you can still feel the pain while still having gratitude for different parts of it. And that will really help your perspective. So then I was struggling and coming to terms with accepting. Oh my God, this is it. Holy shit, he is dying. My cognitive brain knew how long dogs lived. But my heart was like, nah, we're going to be that weird outlier that lives to like 50. And he was such an amazing being that I really wanted to believe that shit. Oh, and if you're into planetary stuff, the diagnosis came right in between 2 eclipses we just had. It was insane how fast everything happened. And then the day of the last eclipse, he really went downhill. And eclipses have a lot of change, have a lot of deaths, a lot of losses, a lot of things that need to happen for new things to come. So I was barely eating. We were basically running a 24-hour dog hospice at our house over here. I read that when dogs are really sick, they often sleep in strange places that they usually never slept. He chose the living room floor. So we put blankets, and there my husband and I slept as well whenever we could. My thoughts and worries were very overwhelming, as to be expected. And this is why you give yourself compassion at the same time. That makes sense. And the more compassion you can give to yourself, the better you will be, I'm telling you. Even if you're not okay, just accepting that you're not okay is actually going to help. I listened to a guided sleep meditation by the Mindful Movement. It's called Find Inner Peace Through Acceptance and Surrender. I'll tell you, it was really soothing, beautiful, and it allowed my mind to go to their words instead of the constant rumination that was going on. So try that. Whenever you have worries that are keeping you from sleeping, try a sleep meditation, a guided meditation, so that you can hook on to the words and stop the thoughts a little bit better, right? It really helped. Eckhart Tolle from The Power of Now, God, I love him and his work, has talked about how awareness and acceptance of sadness releases you from it. It can't survive acceptance. Take that in. Sadness can't survive acceptance. That statement hit me hard and it resonated immediately. I knew that was true. Now, fucking getting there, this is what we're going to talk about. I would consciously catch myself when I got upset or mad as much as possible at what was happening, because I knew from my past that a victim story I subscribed to for so long was trying to come. Tolle says, that's exactly what the pain body in each of us wants. The pain body is like an emotional scar that the shadow self is created from. It's old emotional and psychological pain that never healed and periodically arises when triggered. The shadow aspects are how you respond to it, if that makes sense. Like, you might respond to it with jealousy or, you know, some other like snickery comment. That's your shadows. Another important point is to see that the pain body is outside of you. Just like you are not your emotions, you are not your thoughts. The pain body is also outside of you. So if I caught myself wanting to be mad, I knew. I'm trying to say that this is unfair. Why is this happening to me? Right? Victim stories. Did that a lot in my life. And from that awareness, I had these super weird moments of serenity and gratitude and didn't completely shut down when I said out loud to myself, I am so fucking sad and that's okay to be here right now. I allowed myself to cry in front of my kid. My husband did too. I especially want him to see a male crying, showing emotions in a healthy way, not, you know, running off and hiding it. This is important. I was holding Zany and just crying. And then my husband came over and he hugged and held on to us and cried. My son was watching and learning how to do this, how to grieve and face these things. He came over and held on to and cried. And it was such a beautiful moment. And we said nothing. We just felt it and allowed it to be, which I never had as a kid. Eckhart also says that the biggest obstacle with acceptance, and this was really hard to look at, I was also losing a part of my identity. I was my dog's mom for 13 years and had made so many daily tasks around his needs, just like any other parent. What was going to be left was the voids. Going for walks would feel different, not having to go on walks. And I'll give a tip on that too later, friend. The comfort and joy his presence and touch brought, my daily routine completely changed. Emptiness. So I was processing all of that in real time, which is good. Good. We like this. And then we had a decision to make. What a fucking terrible decision to make. And I'm going to be honest, because I know it will help someone else out there. Before this happened, I was like, no way could I put my dog down. Never. No fucking way. The universe just takes a sip of their tea and waits. And then I had a spiritual awakening 2.5 years ago. And I'm like, I don't want to control anything. I want to surrender and accept whatever happens. Yep, sounds great. It does. And for the most part, I've gotten a lot better at it. You know what I didn't see coming? I had to fight my ego. My ego thought it was terrible to be able to do that to an animal. That it was actually love that could make me question even that belief. My husband and I both had a spiritual awakening. Both thought a certain way. And then you watch a being that you love so deeply suffer and realize that the harder decision is the one you don't want to make but can't ignore. My stomach was sick, even thinking of it. But there he was, in constant suffering that we knew we could do virtually nothing about. He couldn't even sit down. It was that bad. And then our vet friend told us the possible ways that his condition could go even worse if we allow it to proceed naturally. And all without pain meds because his kidneys were at failure. It was a fucking nightmare. My husband and I looked at each other and just bawled, accepting what was the only thing we could do to help him. It was the hardest decision of my entire life. That might sound dramatic. Don't give a shit. It was. I never wanted to choose if something lived or died ever. I'm like a fucking Buddhist weirdo. If I see an ant in my house, I'm letting him crawl on the napkin so I can take him safely back outside. So my brain was having a really hard time. My ego with the guilt of this. And I heard the words in my head. It's knowing that truth about yourself that you know this is not the same. This was to get him out of pain. So then, my mother-in-law tells us that they have doctors that can come to your house instead of going to the clinic. Did you know this? Because I never heard of it. And no one from the vet clinic said anything that this was an option. And more people need to know about this. My dog gets nervous in the car, at the vet, at the groomers. And not having to do this in public with like strangers around. So I'm going to tell you that really did help a lot. So we call and we make an appointment for the next morning. Well, he did surprisingly well that night, of course. And I was like, I can't make this call without seeing. It's definitely necessary. I needed that knowing. So we called and they were so patient and kind. They've done this dance. They knew. They like people have pushed back these things. So we push it back to 5 p.m. We knew we would know by then if he was going to start doing what he did the day before. How his condition was reacting. You might be asking, why not just see what happens naturally? Yes, that would be my choice also. But our vet friend warned us of the possible complications for letting his condition go. And it was more hurtful to think of that happening than this. I had to outweigh the evils in this case. He started the day off okay. And then things ramped up again. He wasn't eating or drinking. I asked him to make it clear to me what we should do. And he did. So my sister took our son out for a little while. He started getting super, it was awful. It got really out of hand. And it was clear that there was nothing that we could do. And he was suffering. And so before my son left, I said, listen, I try to be as honest as possible. There's nothing that they can do, and he is suffering. So a doctor is going to come to the house and help his body finally rest. He said, will he die? And that was so hard to not run from, friend. I took a breath and I go, yes, he will. We love him too much to see him suffer. Even though it breaks our hearts and I wish he could be here forever and that things could be different, but that's not what is. So I want you to say whatever is in your heart before you go. And don't worry if you missed anything, because his spirit will be with us always. You can talk to him whenever you want. Something that worked great also, if your kid is having a hard time expressing themselves or getting their head wrapped around something that's happening, is I gave him an idea to make Zany a book and put what he's thinking and feeling there. It could be words. He can just draw pictures, whatever he wants. Basically, I'm doing journaling training wheels. And he made him a beautiful book that made me fucking cry again. But it allowed him to get his thoughts onto paper and still like express himself. And I could see what his thought process was so I could help him better, which was awesome. So he hugs him and tells him that he loves him. And then he goes. I know he doesn't quite understand the magnitude of what's happening. And that's okay. Do what works for you and your kid, their development and their emotional state. And then we went back and I just held Zany as much as I could and told him how much we loved him, what an amazing being he is. And I thanked him for allowing me to be his mom for so many years. And I asked him to please send me a sign that he is okay. And I'm telling you, my husband and I were so sick to our stomachs and in agony doing this, but still knowing that this was the most loving thing that we could do. And I was still finding the moments of gratitude, so appreciative that I had him for this long, so grateful that I had him at all, so grateful that I could be there for him in a way that I don't think I could have in the past. So many of our friends and family said that they had to literally leave the room when it was the time. And there was something so beautiful about being there and holding that space. So the doctor arrived and she was so soft-spoken, patient, loving. I thought the words, she's the angel of death. I mean, she was just an angel that, you know, it was just so, oh my God. I was losing it. And she just held the space. She didn't try to fix it. She didn't try to make me feel better. She just held the space lovingly for me to do whatever we needed. Do you know how much light it takes to hold that much darkness? God, I had so much reverence for her and for people that work in the death and dying industry. My goodness, like special, special angels. It takes a special strength to do those jobs lovingly. I again was finding gratitude in the storm. I kept thanking her that she could help us do this in our home, that she could be there, that she could hold this space. Amazing. So then she describes exactly what's going to happen, which helps my nervous system a lot, not having surprises. So she does this really beautiful process. She made a paw print. She gave us a little snippet of his hair. It was just beautiful. There was zero rush. We played super tranquil music with birds in the background. It was beautiful, like soft lighting. It felt so peaceful. She did the final step. And I am not going to lie, it was the most painful, most spiritually profound moment I ever had. Ever had. I kept regulating my breathing, like my nervous system, because my mind and my nervous system were freaking out. My whole body was shaking. But I held him. I held him in my arms the entire time. And I know that this will sound crazy, but the pain was so intense, so deep, that I literally felt something being pulled out of my chest. I don't know. Maybe that was an energetic cord or connection, maybe. I don't know. But it was so intense. And then at one point during, I felt something. And my sobbing just stopped. And I just stared forward. And I felt no pain. I felt complete peace. No sorrow. It was the weirdest, strangest feeling. Like his spirit was showing me the truth beyond what I was seeing, beyond my human heart. And then a minute or two later, I went right back into what I felt before. Like, what the hell was that? Like, I have my theories, but it's true what they say. Out of the deepest pain can lead you to the greatest spiritual growth. It was out of body. I can't explain it, but I felt it. And just so you know, the place that we went to, it's a nationwide company called Lap of Love. They even, which again, nobody talks about this. They even do hospice, end of life care. They do funerals. It was just like, it was crazy. And I hope you do not need them. But if you should, they were amazing where we were in Northeast Pennsylvania and can help you with every single part of the process. Just want to put that out there. So now I want to go into some real things that helped afterwards, because to me, it wasn't over. So then my husband and I couldn't sleep because we were super busy beating ourselves up mentally, picturing that shit over and over and over again. And then our mind would play. What if we would have done this? Maybe we should have done that. On repeat, wishing, wondering how it could have been any different than what it was. Oh my God. This was the healing lesson that I had been trying to get my entire life. Suffering is the idea that the past can be any different than what it was. What happened was exactly what was supposed to happen. It was perfect because that's what happened. The true acceptance. It helped me to see that it is all part of a much bigger picture that we may not at the time see had to happen for us that way. Doesn't mean we prefer it. Doesn't mean it wasn't heartbreaking, make us want to scream and rage out. That is perfect too, friend, because that is also. It is healthy to validate and honor all the emotions that come up so they can be released. I was raised to stuff everything down, distract. Even toxic positivity is harmful. You can't just happy it all away. Whatever you're feeling, you're supposed to be feeling makes you human. We were meant to feel it all. That's what makes us human. How we do it and what we get out of it can vary greatly though. So what do you do? Like with all their items, it hurts to see them. But it hurts more to do anything with them, right? Like their food bowls, their beds and stuff. Oh my God. And I'm going to tell you something. We didn't do shit for a while. Not going to lie. It hurt to take away these items. The acceptance of like, you know. So I heard, this is a really good one, washing their food bowls in a ceremonial fashion, which feels more honoring, to wash them very mindfully. Maybe you want to pray or think of them while doing so. Whatever resonates with you. And then you place them away. Or if you want to make a little space or shelf to put their special items, like their collar, their favorite toy, pictures of them. Or my mother-in-law made a shadow box frame of her dog's special mementos and pictures. And here's another like cool thing we did. We started doing spirit walks. We walked every day with Zany, and I thought, why stop? If they are not truly gone, why not walk with them in spirit? So I take his collar like I used to, Like I used to put the leash on him, but I just take the collar. I put it in my pocket or I clip it onto my bag and we walk like we always did. And that has helped a lot too. It's like there's like a comfort, you know, I don't know how to explain that. And you can also put some of their fur or ashes in jewelry. I will be getting a little pendant for that myself. Maybe even a beautiful tattoo. I am also going to donate some of his food and treats that he didn't get to use to a local shelter. He was a rescue, and I would like to help them like they helped our dog. I also made myself do grief meditations, even when I didn't want to. Jason Stevenson makes a gorgeous one, by the way, because if you don't, it will come out seemingly out of nowhere in the most unopportune times. I got a good example from my great-grandmother. My great-grandfather died, and she did not cry. They were happily married. It wasn't like she was happy he was gone. She was taught to be stoic. You know that era. She held it in together, no problem. Was telling people about it like it was the weather. Then about 3 weeks later, she was in the grocery store. Looked at an item she always got for my grandfather. And it finally hit her. She had a complete meltdown in the middle of the cereal aisle. She realized that he was no longer there to buy that cereal for. Crazy, right? Like how it hits you. It doesn't go away. It doesn't. That if we learn anything from trauma healing, it doesn't go away. Listen to this passage by Osho Rajneesh. He was an Indian mystic that died in, I believe, the early 1990s. I read this and it completely changed my perspective and how I move through a hard time. Listen to this. So powerful. The only problem with sadness, desperateness, anger, hopelessness, anxiety, anguish, misery, is that you want to get rid of them. That's the only barrier. You will have to live with them. You cannot just escape. They are the very situation in which life has to integrate and grow. They are the challenges of life. Accept them. They are blessings in disguise. If you want to escape them, if you somehow want to get rid of them, then a problem arises. Because if you want to get rid of something, you never look at it directly. And then the thing starts hiding from you because you are condemnatory. Then the thing goes on moving deeper into the unconscious, hides in the darkest corner of your being where you cannot find it. It moves into the basement of your being and hides there. And of course, the deeper it goes, the more trouble it creates. Because then it starts functioning from unknown corners of your being and you are completely helpless. So the first thing is, never repress. Whatsoever is the case, accept it and let it come. Let it come in front of you. In fact, just to say do not repress is not enough. If you allow me, I would like to say befriend it. You are feeling sad? Befriend it. Have compassion for it. Sadness also has a being. Allow it. Embrace it. Sit with it. Hold hands with it. Be friendly. Be in love with it. Sadness is beautiful. Nothing wrong with it. Who told you that something is wrong with being sad? A lot of people. In fact, only sadness gives you depth. Laughter is shallow. Happiness is skin deep. Sadness goes to the very bones, to the marrow. Nothing goes as deep as sadness. So don't be worried. Remain with it, and sadness will take you to your innermost core. You can ride on it, and you will be able to know a few new things about your being that you had never known before. Those things can only be revealed in a sad state. They can never be revealed in a happy state. Darkness is also good, and darkness is also divine. The day is not only God's, the night is His also. I call this attitude religious. Oh, did that hit you like it did me? In some weird way, when I read this, I started running towards the sadness. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. But like, I knew that the more I saw it as a gift, the more I went into the sadness. And in some crazy deep way, that was how I was going to get out. And last but not least, you remember how I asked Zany to give me a sign? Well, 4 days after his passing, my kid's teacher sends him home a handwriting practice booklet. I open to the first page, and it has a little character that can help them throughout the book. It said, "Hi, my name is Zany, and I can give you a hand if you need." Zany! I lost my breath. I yelled for my husband, and I was like, oh my God, look at this. I made that name up. That's not like Tom or like Sarah. You know what I'm saying? The author's name was Zaner. Like, I guess his last name. And we used to call the dog Zaner Boehner. It was so wild. And there it was. A hello from Zany. I knew we were all eternal. But wow, did I feel it. Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. If you have gone through a loss recently of any type, I am so sorry, friend. It is so hard, and my heart is with you. I am sending you so much love and strength. If you have a pet, enjoy and love on them every moment that you can. And I hope this will help in any loss that should come your way. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and I'm sending you so, so much love. I'll see you on the next one, friend. Take care.